thank you everybody for coming. We do have Joe from JCTA representing as a guest today. And of course, the media. Thank you so much, Kate. And is it Seth?
Yes.
Bulletin and 307 at radio. And of course, Wendy from the college. And Scott representing the city today. As well as, of course, the mayor. Okay, well, let's go ahead and get started. You have your minutes in the packet. If we want to go ahead and review those quickly, we can get those approved.
Make a motion to approve the minutes with the exception that I was in attendance at the meeting.
You were what?
In attendance.
In attendance.
It showed that I was on the phone.
We will get that noted. Any other corrections? Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Meeting minutes were approved for January 11th. We're going to make a couple of small changes to the agenda. We're going to move up our budget review so that Rick can do the treasurer's report and the review at the same time. I am going to add to new business the Pole Creek vegetation management issue that's come up. There was some information in your board packet on that, and hopefully we'll get a few more updates along the way from other folks that are in the room today. So go ahead, Rick. Let's go ahead and get you going.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. So the treasurer report, just a quick review of that. I know we get a ton of reports, you guys, hopefully just for consistency, I guess. I typically like to look over the single month's profit and loss, because then we are getting used to how much income we have and how much expense we typically have. So if we're looking at just the profit loss, I don't know if this is in front of you guys, maybe that's what's coming around. For the month of January, we had just over $14,000 in income, which is a relatively normal month. That's about what our income is each month. Our expenses then throughout the month were $21,000. Sorry, it's the first time I've seen any reports of this method. $21,000 in expenses. That's a little higher than what we typically see. This month they were due to repairs and maintenance. We had some more bills come through. I haven't looked at the bill specifically yet, but I assume there's $6,500 in expense on repair and maintenance, and some of the things that we're still doing over on the other side, that's right. I saw an electric bill and a maintenance bill, not before HVAC.
Yeah,
I saw.
Actually, downstairs is electrical, modern electric.
So that's what on a month over month basis increase our expenses a little bit a month. However, still, nothing alarming. If you guys have any questions on the given month income or expense or how much detail we want to go into in this. Do you have any questions on it, Jane?
I just like getting all of the reports that we can review. I think what we do here is
yeah, a lot of them come to you guys for however anybody likes to look at financial statements. They send out all the transaction detail in all kinds of detail.
Yeah. But I think that's good.
Which is, 100% fine. So nothing alarming there. And in theory, the way I look at it also, you guys, I know that we know at the beginning of the year, if it costs us, we're going to be negative $60,000 for the year. That means 12 months into 60 is a $5,000 loss per month, is how I always look at this. And so we were at a loss this month of $7,000, so we weren't way out of the ballpark on what our loss was. And when I talk about it as a loss, it's just purely from a business standpoint. That's actually what we get. That's what it costs the taxpayer then to put into this to keep our building running, which think is actually reasonable. So, anyway, with that said, the balance sheet is also in there, showing obviously just our assets, our cash, where our cash is distributed, and all the assets and liabilities that we have. And then the thing that we do, which is obviously mandated, that we do, looking at the check detail report are all the checks. These are the expenses that we had for the month. We need to approve these on a monthly basis. We can go down through and look at those, who we wrote the check to, how much it was for, and we also have all the detail behind that if you have any questions on any of these payments.
Any questions?
If there aren't any questions, I'm sorry.
Okay, no, that's fine. If there aren't any questions, or just some of you are still reviewing it, we can go ahead and accept the motion to approve the treasurer's report. Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
So with that, then, what I'd like to also go into is I sent out the proposed budget for next year, which the reason we're doing this already is because our 1% funding request is actually due in February, so we need to be able to complete that request. Apologize, this thing isn't really easy to read. That blue isn't a good color to put in there. But I just wanted to quickly review just the thought process. First thing that we had to do is get the revised budget for this year to come up with a number of what we think we're going to end up at the end of this year. And then I take it from there and work forward looking into next year. We're projecting that our total income, the first yellow line down there, is going to be $199,000 in income. This isn't including any of our outside income. This is just revenue from our rental income. $199,000 is what we're projecting at the end of the year. That's actually revised up from $188,000 that we projected last year. And then looking forward into 23-24, we know that the income from 22 Plains Drive Mountain Meadow Wool lease is going up, and so that's where the majority of this 6% increase has come from on the income side. Their lease is going from $87,000 to $99,000 this year, so we will have an increase in income. On the flip side of that, the expenses, I'm down at the bottom of the original in the orange column. The original projection was 278 in expense. That's been revised to $290,000 in expenses. And again, as we approach towards the end of the year, if we go over the 278, we need to file a revised budget to the state for that. Assuming this is close, then projecting into 23-24, you can see where we have increases or decreases in each line item. Obviously, bringing on a full-time additional employee, increasing the payroll and benefits column. We have backed off some of the professional services from the previous year. We also have decreased our overall supplies from what we believe our expenses are going to be this year. And the reasons behind these two items, the two large decreases, the other one that has a decrease is repaid repairs and maintenance. Because as far as I know at this point in time, we're close to where I think we are at on the improvements over there. I might be wrong when I'm saying this.
No.
Slap me
no.
if I'm not.
No.
If I am. unless we want to actually then budget for something, if we have another big project that we need to get in here on either side of the column here. But that was just my thought process as we look forward into next year. So total expenses then of being $310,000 for next year. shows about a net operating loss of just under $100,000. Again, the way I look at it, that's the cost to the community then. That's what we're going out. We need to make up that gap from our revenue to our expenses. Making up that gap by asking the 1% or the rec board. The other thing that we've been putting in as a line item is an additional $50,000 in support so we can move it over into a reserve fund. Again, I talk about this every year. The reason we want that reserve fund is because we have a $5 million building here that we have no reserves essentially for to improve. When a $250,000 boiler goes down, there are very little funds to cover that at our level or at the city level or at the county level. And so that's why that additional $50,000 in there, our total support being $149,554. Where does that come from? I'm proposing that where it comes from is down below, asking the city and the county for each of them for $70,000, and the rec board. In the past, we've been asking them for $15,000, and you can see what their support was then last year. And yes, the support is $155,000. It's over my projected support needed. Because they all cleverly like to cut it by $5,000. Because it's a feel-good thing when you're on a committee, when you cut something, it makes you feel like you're doing a job.
And give up your secrets.
We're all human beings. It's not even a secret. So, anyway, I don't know. I guess this is just being thrown out. You guys all got this before. I don't know if you guys reviewed this again. The logic that went into this, not knowing if there are any extra marketing proposals that we want to do or any other building projects or anything else. It's
right.
Just the operation, basically,
right.
of the facility.
And there will be some things coming forward, and so we can and not necessarily have to do anything to change this now. So, and it may not affect it at all.
Right.
So as we put together some of those plans and put the dollars to those plans, then we'll have a much better idea. Hopefully, and better planning for that going forward, so that we all know, and then if we do need to make some sort of a course correction, we can. So, any questions or thoughts that you have for regarding this?
Easy to tweak. If we're missing something in here, if not, if we don't tweak it, this is actually what we'll take forward and be presenting this same thing to the city and county. I mean, the one thing that I'm pretty proud of in here is actually how we have been able to maintain how much it costs to run our facility. I mean, last year, you know, we have shown a net operating loss from, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, $80,000 to $90,000 to $99,000. And these increases are enormous, in my view, of what we've been able to do. So we've been able to maintain this pretty well and improve things quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would it make sense to put a little bit more money into repair and maintenance?
It might. This year wasn't a lot, right?
I mean
we've been in the past. We've always been
in
the last, if you go back even 5 years, our repair and maintenance has only been around the $15,000 to $20,000 mark. This year, you know, that's why the $25,000 number is in there. It's increased this year just because of the items we've done are called repairs as opposed to, you know, improvements or something.
Right.
That's the category they came out of. Should they? I have no problem doing it one way or the other. I don't have a reason one way or the other. Right. And if we put that in there, you could actually take that entire reserve amount and put it into repair and maintenance. And
yeah.
You could use it there, you know. And then you could still move some. Then you could still move some over into your reserves at the end of the year if you had the money.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of what my thought process.
Right.
If we did have something catastrophic happen, and you say we needed to spend $60,000 out of reserves, would we have to redo the budget to show that to the state?
No. That's actually a good question if you have to. I don't know the process going in the reserve, you actually have to vote, or this committee has to move money from your checking account or whatever into a reserve account to move it back the other way. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. And that would be my only question is, leave it there, and then at the end of the year, transfer it over, and it might be more than 50.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like
I mean, I think it's arguable one way or the other. It's just whatever twist anybody wants to put into it, you know. There's no bones about this. I can say the city and county have been reluctant, even when I sit there and say we want to put $50,000 into reserves a year. To me, that's pennies compared to what we're trying to maintain.
Yeah.
But if somebody somewhere isn't reserving money for these catastrophic things going forward, then how do you have a plan for this stuff? And so, and I also know the word reserve funds is a sensitive subject in different walks, but it is what it is. Appreciation is a real thing. You got to put money into somewhere to plan on it. So it doesn't matter to me where we put it.
May I say one more thing to that effect? We used to have a maintenance plan for Bowman Mountain, and then for some reason it lapsed. We didn't do a good job to keep up with it. Nor did the company say, hey, you're off. We put this in plan again because I'm a little bit afraid if we do not have a maintenance plan at all.
Are you talking like HVAC?
HVAC coming.
And we signed that a couple months ago, right?
Well, yeah. Actually, I signed it 2 days ago because I had it on my desk forever because we were trying to get different bids in. Nobody came back with anything, so I went ahead with Great Divide.
They did. Great Divide had it.
Yes,
you
they had it
time.
Before.
Yeah.
So 4 times a year they're coming now again and maintain the stuff. So we have that in place, and that will add $8,000 to
the maintenance
to the maintenance. But I feel like that's well spent money to check all the belts. You know, that caused us some issues before with smell, and then we thought it was gas, and it wasn't. You know, stuff like that. So.
Yeah, they change out their maintenance contract, changes out all the filters and the belts on
yes.
A timeline.
4 times a year on a schedule. And so just want to mention that.
Is that accounted for?
In my mind, is it me? Maybe.
Maybe.
There's $30,000, right? If I look back in the past, and as I just said, my thought process would have been around $15,000, but if you look in 21, 22 in the green column, we actually have $26,000 in repairs. So maybe 30, maybe that isn't enough. Maybe there are true repairs that are $35,000 or something. Maybe there are. Maybe I should increase that. So, and it's obviously easy to all that. And even there, if you increase that $5,000, it's still even covered in this ask to the city and county. The thing I've never really figured out how to do is we're running a building for the city and county. That's what we're doing. I've never figured out how to play the game when you go into the 1% committee. Here's what it costs to run your building. Why then we want to cut the cost? I haven't. So what we do there, it doesn't matter. We can put our best foot forward with where we want to put money, and then we're at the whim of the elected officials to operate it.
I think we're in the ballpark.
Yeah, I do too. That'll increase that just so it does increase. It does make it, again, looking forward so you don't have to. The closer you are on the expense side of it, then you don't have to refile with the state if we go over it. You know, I mean, the thing I'm confident of, that we do run a efficient operation and we're not wildly spending the money. Ladies, good job.
That's great.
Anyway, I'll increase that then. In that category. I'm assuming that maintenance contract was accounted for back in like 21, 22. That's probably about the last time we had it.
Probably.
Wasn't it? So I'll increase that, and we will present that then. If anybody has anything else, any other thoughts, when you get a chance to look through this, email me, whatever, and we can tweak this. It's easy to do. I don't know if that requires a vote or not.
I would say that we probably do have to have one if you're going to want to approve this to be submitted.
Okay. So with the change of increasing the repairs and maintenance by $5,000, it'll still actually almost match the total funding that we're hoping to get.
Sounds good. So I think we should, if we want to move forward with this at this time and not get hung up, because you said it's due in February.
It is this month, yeah.
So let's go ahead and move forward with that.
And then we'll get one of us, whether it's if you filled it out in the past or we put it together, we'll fill it out the 1%.
Okay, sounds good. So do we have a motion then to accept the budget here as Rick has proposed this for the 1% application?
Yes, I move that we add $5,000 to repair and maintenance budget.
Okay.
And approve, otherwise approve this budget without additional amendment. Close enough. Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Very good.
The other request, actually, I'm just curious what your guys' thoughts are, that I've actually asked the city and county in the past. I don't know if you guys know how the 1% thing works. A couple years ago, it all used to just be in front of a volunteer board from the town. They split out then these quasi-government entities such as ourselves, and then now we go in front of the city and county individually. My request over the last few years has actually been city and county. This is a joint powers board. Can we sit together and do this once? And I think I'm saying this because I'm actually curious what your guys' thoughts are, because I've never been granted that wish. And I'm considering, you know, whether or not I should be asking that again. If it's a logical thing, the joint powers board sit down at a 1% meeting together to talk about that or not.
Does that make sense, huh?
Well, it does to me. I'm curious. It just would make the, as inevitably what also happens every time I go into one or the other, they always say, well, what did the other one give you? Well, if we'd sit down together, we could have this conversation. But
I don't have a problem. I don't know about Scott. You know, like, in the
same time. I know, and I shouldn't even, I mean, it usually is the county kind of like driving it one way or the other. Oh, so are you guys at home there?
It is.
I wish Bill was here today to give us his explanation, but. I don't know. I think I'm just asking this. Does that make sense or not as a group, and obviously as you guys as elected officials?
To me, it makes sense to have it here, you know, during the city county monthly meeting.
That would be a good time to do it, actually. It just seems logical to me to have the conversation as a whole. So, anyway, all right. Well, thanks. I needed to say that out loud. Thanks.
Feel better now.
I do feel better.
Great. We'll move on to staff reports.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Rex, for everything. I'll see you soon.
So this month was a little busier than others, and I'm sure there's a lot here. I'm trying to really condense it a little bit. Let's start with the BBE meeting, Buffalo Business Exchange, that we try to, bring back business folks, business leaders of Buffalo come together, exchange their thoughts, and refer business. Was easier than usual, too. Out of that little meeting, the Wild Rose Tea Room was in there, and I made an effort to go Friday last week to see her and got educated on her little business, which was really interesting. So we're kind of staying in contact. Those are the things, Shannon, you mentioned you wanted to see a little more, so we're doing it. That was really nice. So we're staying in contact. Anything they have as far as a little event going on, we'll post that on our event page. We also... a person from Romania showed up, and he was a certified culinary teacher. And Wendy, I sent you the information too. I thought it was kind of interesting. Very nice man. Would like to get in contact. I sent him with the college. Again, referred him to different people, what he can do. Also have maybe plan B, as we only have one instructor in the wintertime. He lives in Dayton right now. And I don't know if that's a possibility or not, but having somebody else that can teach and has the certification is wonderful. We'll keep him on file, and if there's anything we can use him for, anything, I think that would be a nice resource as well. I was really happy to get to meet him. We went went last week to the governor's conference, and we had some hoops to go through. The roads were closed Sunday. Airbnb told us, please tell us by noon you're not coming. So we told them we're not coming. We're coming Monday, hopefully, and then the roads open up at 1 o'clock. So we were there Monday. We got left at 6. We're there by 11. Went to the conference, and in years past that I have visited and attended it, it seemed to be more what the speakers had to say to us. This year it seemed to be more a networking thing for us. We made some really great contacts out of that. So we have a little, I don't know, in the 60 pages, I'm apologizing this month, we got a little synopsis of the governor's conference, what we took with it. The Office of Tourism, I always like to hear what they have to say again. They're saying tourism is the number two driver in Wyoming. And there is some of their leisure marketing opportunities, how many millions they spend on tourism, and so on and so forth. That's all in the board packet. Paid channels, whatever they do, and some of their charts we copied. That's so you get an idea of what the big dudes in Cheyenne are doing. While this thing was over on Tuesday, we kind of got bored, and we thought, what are we doing? We need to do something with our time. We went to the beautiful facility south of Cheyenne. Next to the interstate, there's this beautiful building, and it is usually just, I thought it was just a visitor center, state-of-the-art visitor center. So the lady from the Wyoming Office of Tourism took us around, and we found out that actually the Office of Tourism, Diane Schober, sits in this building. So they gave us a grand tour of this whole thing, and also we took some of their new brochures, the new brochures for Wyoming with us, and new maps and whatever we needed that we were out of. So that was kind of neat to got to see them, made some contacts there. Another person that checked in here in my office was Paul Clark. He's a saddlery guy. He builds saddles for a living. Again, he was brainstorming. His business is a little slow, and I think we referred him to the college again, and I think he's even given a class now.
We'll see. We're working
on it. Okay. That's what I heard. I didn't know. But again, we referred him to the college and see if he could do anything. I don't know, but that's as best as we could,
awesome.
You know, do it. Great guy. Then we thought we'll do one little event here in Bomber Mountain, and we called it this year, I put it there, the Spring into Wellness Day, mainly holistically seen, and not so much from any medication, but, alternative medicine, acupuncture, that kind of thing, essential oils, somebody must massage auricular ear, acupuncture, that kind of thing. Just from 10 to 4 on the 22nd, we want to have the vendors in a circle looking at each other. So if there is somebody giving a demonstration, everybody can see and hear. Not like you usually go through any of these shows. The third person over there can't see what this person does. And maybe just 15. It's not so much about the volume, but the quality of folks that we're kind of inviting. Working on that a little bit. Then I got wind of, thanks again to the college, we had an advisory meeting. Charles Oski sat in the meeting and said that there was an active shooter training, and I found out that it's actually for the public. It's not only for the school, so we as citizens can join in. And I thought, well, for this building, nobody ever gave us a training. I thought, we're going to go. So I drug her along. And we actually attended for over an hour those things, what to do barricade, what to do in case of, and how they deal with it. And I said, the first thing is there any way, when you come back, give us a little training? So I got in contact with the guy. He came 4 days later to the office and gave, because our office, as you know, is a one-way street. There's nothing we can do. How do we get out? What do we do? You know, there's not another way to get out of this thing. So what do we do in case of? And so he gave us some really good pointers. If they're coming back for the school, he has our information. We would like to do this maybe for the tenants and give the tenants kind of a little rundown, hey, what can we do as tenants? How do we act? What should we be doing, you know? So that was really enlightening, I think, and also very intriguing how these guys train the kids in the school. And I guess I don't have kids, but I just learned that all those kids, the schools are closed. The doors are locked. When I go there now, it's locked. Kind of. But anyways, that was kind of interesting, too. I'm still in conversation with Principal Hansen about the New West School. We're just ongoing conversations. There are some improvements we have to do on our end. Same on theirs. There's nothing, no date, anything. We're just in conversation and keep talking about it. And
looked like those repairs were pretty expensive, what it was going
to
take.
Well, that was one, because they wanted the fire panel needs to be updated, that's for sure, but they gave us the whole system. That's not really what we wanted. There's a different company, Comtronics in Sheridan, that does those things, and I'm hoping to get just the finer fire panel updated, but not the whole pole stations, because they're all mechanical and they're still work. We tried it out.
Right.
So we're still in that. I'm waiting for a bid to come back from the other folks.
Would rent compensate for anything that we did? Do we have an idea what they're paying for rent?
Yeah, about $3,000 a month, plus utilities, what would you say, $500? So $3,500 a month is what they would.
It'll be a couple-year investment.
Yeah.
So, that's what we came up with as far as the square footage, about 7,000 square feet they would use. So, in 50 cents per square foot that we figured at one point. And I don't think the school is not open to help with money as far as that goes, number one. And second, I have a guy looking into some of the grants, and Monday, Brandy Harlow is coming to my office, and I want to talk to her about it, if there are some grants we can write, maybe helping with that money as well. Not all on our shoulder. You know, I understand that. But in order to have a school in, it has to be safe for them. But we're all looking in all different directions.
How many students?
Is it 35, and they want to expand, and they have no way. It's, you get into the building, I don't know if you've been there, students right there.
Yeah.
That's it. There's no gyms, no nothing for them to kind of spread out a little bit. And that's what would be so nice. If we ever get this all going, we could expand here to the upstairs, or however we configure this first. And then Mike Hansen and I talked about combine the business expo with the job fair. Now, last year we did the expo, so they came to us. We said, well, the chambers want to take this over, and we got word they want to do it in May. When we told Mike Hansen that, he said it's too late because it's already in the graduation part of things. So they want to do it right after spring break. So we're kind of working on things to see if we can help and put the job fair together or something like this. In conversation with that. And then night classes at the Sheridan College are going on for culinary classes. I'm attending myself, and I love the class. It's kind of fun. Tonight is another four-hour session. Chef Sam is doing a fantastic job. The kitchen works actually great. I mean, just doing it now in the kitchen itself. We're making pasta and some littler dishes. Some have maybe seen the pictures. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
We have like 8 students, I think, and then 7 or 8 Thursday night. So we have 14 students on Wednesday night, 4 hours, and Thursday night, 4 hours, for 6 weeks, I believe, right?
8 weeks.
8 weeks, okay. That was, so I'm just
that,
a
that actually run through the college then?
Yeah. It's
one credit.
I mean, I'm not going for the credit. I'm
the
just
fun
going
credit.
For fun. To learn
but we need
new.
You to take the credit.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to. So then we're also working on the community calendar, and maybe Carrie, you want to say some things because you're handling this a little more. She's trying to get information from the businesses and everybody to put them on our events calendar. So spreading the word out. I'm talking with Jeannie to get the word out better.
Yeah, so basically I'm just trying to hard hit it. Anytime I see something on Facebook, I've gone back to what I was doing last year. You know, if I see it on Facebook, I either contact them for a flyer or if I can somehow save the image. I'm trying to just promote it. I'm trying to get it out there on Facebook, on JoCo. JoCo Facebook is kind of stagnant. I'm hoping in the next week or two I'm going to revitalize that with some around town pictures. Anybody who has pictures just around town, you know, life in Buffalo, KC, anything in Johnson County, please forward those to me, because that's, I want to build up a repertoire and then start putting it out there. And that's about it. I'm trying to, you know, and I'm trying to get the other entities in town, GCTA, the chamber, and anybody with event type situations happening to meet with me or at least send me the info so I can put it on there. I do have more content though. If you want to visit it, it is filling up, so something's working. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Well, and she also is working on the 307 Mysteries. That's coming back also, as well as stained glasses upstairs.
Right.
That's kind of exciting too.
So I was hoping to do a dinner theater. Like that would be my finale, if you will, in the spring. But she is not able to write that script in time. So I'm looking at one more escape room. Marth was nearly sold out again. So I feel like it may have enough people still left to do another one in April. I haven't confirmed anything with her. So far it's just the March dates, but it does seem like it was very positive in the community. I got good feedback from people. They enjoyed it. Some people are going back to the March. She's doing a whole new room, so that's it. And then the stained glass is on the 25th. I'm hoping she does a regular class here. She sold out too, so obviously we have needs.
Yeah. And then Carrie was working on the small business development workshop.
Yes.
Put a poster out. So.
Oh, I have a flyer down there too. Yes, thank you.
That's the one, yes.
So I just spoke with PJ yesterday, and she's actually even promoting this regionally for us. So she has somebody in Gillette who's interested in coming here already for the workshop. She's going to promote it on their website calendar, as well as we're going to promote it. So I feel like it would be a good investment for us to have Audie come here from Riverton. She would have to stay overnight, and then her meals and mileage and everything we would have to reimburse. But my plan is to get this out in the next couple weeks and see what kind of interest, because regardless, she'll do a Zoom with us. So we'll have Audie on Zoom, and we will have PJ in person. But we want to split it up to two sessions, like a coffee session and a lunch session, trying to...
Would they be the same session?
They are the same. And I was trying to figure out, my wording makes it sound like there might be two different workshops, but I wanted to structure it so that it was geared towards where it wasn't interruptive into people's business day. So that's why it's 8 to 9:30, kind of the coffee hour, and 12 to 1:30 at lunch. And it's free. It's going to be free.
Free?
Mm-hmm. So the only expense...
Is there a limitation on how many people you can do?
They didn't tell me. Let's fill the large gym. But my goal is that we get as many as the locals, you know, local businesses,
yeah,
get them the education that they may need or a refresher that they may need. And hopefully I can be educated enough that I become a point of contact for our local businesses. So they can say, hey, I forgot what she said about, you know, scheduling my poster, what have you.
And I just want to say that earlier when Claudia was mentioning her visit at the tea house, that really is about building those relationships and finding out what their needs are, having those conversations. And so it makes it really nice when they're doing their BBE events and those other times when they're out in the community, and then they can bring that information back. And of course, as we're talking about, you know, these core pieces of economic development, part of that is working with our existing businesses, finding out what they need, being able to provide that in some way that we can, that we have the capacity to do. And these are things that I think are important. So I think that's great. This has always been a hot button, social media people struggle with that. I think we do a little Facebook here or there, and then we drop off. So I think this will help build some skills maybe around some of that stuff. And I think that's all
well,
really important.
I feel like my training, JoCo's going to benefit just from me getting training with this.
Our contact, you know, our partners with, whether it be the business council and the women's groups, the women, what's it called? The women's,
Wyoming Women's
Business Council. So those partnerships that we have and her relationship with them, that's that, again, wanting to be that primary point of contact for businesses, existing businesses that want to grow or expand, and of course those that are looking at coming here. Really beefing up what we do, doing it well, being able to have the information that we can present that represents Johnson County. I think that's all really important. I mean, that's one of our, it seems like it should be a primary directive to be able to be that organization. And I think that the work that we're doing just in building also Claudia's knowledge base and working with Julie, hopefully through the city, when we do have some new business leads, you know, that's something else that we're working towards, is being able to be more representative of JoCo first and that opportunity there. And so I think, you know, in the very quick next year, there'll be a lot of things that we're going to be able to touch on and improve on and expand on and just be able to show a real presence of us and what we can offer. So this is something that when we're talking about training and those kinds of things, I think that's important. To listen to the business community and what they need and seeing how we can help in ways that, again, that we have the capacity to.
Well, and these are all programs that are offered by the Development Center.
Exactly.
And SBA.
Right.
So, and my hope is, I don't want to overwhelm the market with too many workshops, is maybe just a quarterly or three times a year.
You know, the reality of it is they're all going to fit a different person and a different agenda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, if you were doing three social media workshops, it might be too much, but if you have other things, whether it's
yeah, like
other
topics.
My next
yeah.
one I'm hoping is understanding your P&L, you know. And then with the Small Business Expo, I met with Jennifer on Monday, and she asked me to help with the speakers. So that theme is going to be what a business needs, like their insurances, all their startup needs, insurances, budgeting,
mm-hmm.
business plan.
The business of business, we often forget with our passion for what we want to do and what we love to do, it's really important not to forget that. There is the business of business.
And
so
then PJ
kind of
will be back
one.
For the business expo too.
That would be great.
Do office hours one day.
Mm-hmm. That would be great.
And then there was one more cool thing that we found out at the Governor's Conference. They had a little vendor that was doing visitor kiosks. Program. So what it is basically, I'm just saying it, not even just hypothetically, we could, and Visit Cheyenne has done it, they have it's kind of a major tablet, like the size maybe, and you put it, let's say, at Crazy Woman Square, for not better, you know, where your high traffic area is, and then people, and it's bolted to the ground, and there's an extra sheet of protection on this. And it's a very simple, comes in modules, which means restaurants, map, whatever, motels, fun activities, mountain, whatever you want. And, you know, we can pick this out by module, costs so much. You push on the button, you see it.
Yep.
They also come with a QR code. You put that QR code on your phone, then it takes it from your data rather than from our internet, whatever. And then people have this on their phone, and then they could blow up the map, or they could go see the restaurants, anything. And when we update, I guess, in our office, our information about stuff automatically will be updated. And you can do one, two, or whatever of those tablets. And that would be a cool place, because nobody's working 24/7. Chamber's not always open. It would be nice to have something where people can also look at things and kind of interact a little bit, keep them maybe on Main Street or something like that.
How's the power?
What did we hear?
Between
power?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just plugged in.
Plugged in.
We have places we can do that.
Well, I think that there is power at the Crazy Woman Square.
So at 1 o'clock, sorry about that.
Go ahead.
At 1 o'clock this afternoon, we're going to have a Zoom meeting with this company. When we went to the Governor's Conference, you have so much time to interact with those folks. We got the information. We had 10 minutes spent with them. We went home and thought, this looks really interesting. We talked to Shen about it. Now we wanted to investigate what are exactly the costs, what does it entail, how do we get internet there, da 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 da. And we're working with Bo Fowler, who is in here, the IT guy. He does a lot of things, but he helps us with IT. So seeing how, would it be feasible to shoot it from here to down to the Crazy Woman Square?
Yes, it is.
Well, but it's easy. It's much less than it would be.
Well, just to take it from my house down to the cabin is $3,500.
Right, but that's the stuff we need to find out.
Yeah.
So we're working with Bo since he has that background. I don't have that. He's going to sit in with the meeting hopefully by 1 o'clock, and then we'll talk about it and then figure out a little more. Next meeting, we'll bring you the update and see if this would be anything
we're still
going to be interested in.
We did reach out still to Visionary. Because you had the idea of maybe a citywide, this is just loosely now, a citywide Wi-Fi program. If we have that, then obviously the kiosk will.
Nobody's budget's big enough for that, because I looked at it.
You did.
So we can.
Who did you contact?
Visionary.
You did.
So really what the idea was to have access to, we'll call it an app. And it's kind of the same idea. You know, is there a way that we can collaborate with all of those that are working towards these similar goals, and then how is the best way to present that? One option was to do something that had been researched before, which was a downtown Wi-Fi login that accesses this app. But since these guys went down to the governor's conference and brought this idea back, this sure seems to be the way things might open up for not only for all of those that are interested in these same goals. You know, it's really neat to be able to have a central for the events calendar. Goodness, it would all be right there. Anybody who wanted to access the interactive station or put it on their phones and access it through the app, it would all be the same. It would be the one point of contact for them.
I donated the Wi-Fi to the pool last year, and it was about $1,200 out of my pocket for those 3 months.
Holy cow.
But that was to get it all installed, and so I mean, just as a ballpark.
Okay.
The only way to get it, because of our trees in town, when they came out and measured it, is they would have to remove trees to get enough strength.
Well,
I don't want to go down that road of removing trees out of the park.
No, we don't either. That was not the idea. We're investigating at this point, and he was talking about something between $6,000 and $8,000 installment and everything. But again, we'll sit down and do the hard.
Well, we'll get the finite details today.
In the past, when I had the antique store, and Laura talked to somebody, I can't remember whether it was Visionary or somebody else, but they wanted to do free Wi-Fi at the park. And they were going to offer us, if we did XYZ, put it in, they would shoot it across the street in the park. So maybe there's a business right there, somebody, you know, downtown.
I think we definitely want collaboration.
Yeah.
You know, we would like to see JCTA, the chamber, everybody on board with this, because it would be beneficial for the city. It's an interactive, you're visiting our town, you can play with the buttons, you can take a photo booth with the back scene of our Bighorn Mountains or our murals. It's a QR that makes it a progressive web app. It goes straight to your phone, so you can walk around town and you can have the restaurants guide. And the trails guide is all right there on your phone. Then they're using their own data plan. So I feel like we need to cross all our T's and I's and find out the cost, because it would be beneficial, I believe, to have here in the city.
Who do the upkeep on the app?
They do.
They do.
They do.
They do.
And then and it's tethered to our information. So everything I update on my websites or to our Facebook page, it's just automatically downloaded. Absolutely all the current stuff, yes ma'am.
Have you looked into Range? Because they have fiber down both alleys.
So we have Range here.
Right.
So if we're going to shoot it, that's obviously who we're going to speak to on that. Bo was investigating getting up on the rooftop to see if we had a clear line of sight. So Range would be somebody we would contact in
the bell tower
for that.
But they have Wi-Fi going, they have fiber going down both alleys on Main Street, because that's what we have in Gigi's, because it's right there. It's
Well, I mean, certainly we'll call. Yeah, we'll call them. We're gonna call. I think we're gonna exhaust all of our avenues before we say, okay, we can't do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're gonna try everything.
I'd suggest talking to Tim Miner at the Y, because he looked into it when he was on the BDA board before he took the position at the Y.
That was the conversation.
And that was part of the part of that one was to partner with businesses downtown, where there would be a repeater on top of Gigi's building, a repeater on every on four or five different repeaters on different buildings. You get ownership to be partners, and then part of that there was a way that would to use the Wi-Fi, you'd have to sign in with your email or something, and then Tim would you'd harvest all those emails into a database and be able to target ads to them and recoup
like
your recoup your money that way. And
right. Well, there's also an ads. I don't think we've touched on that, but we can sell ads on it as well. So if like the Occidental has a special, they want to buy an ad. You know, so they're hitting people. So we're, you know, we can recoup some money that way too.
Yeah, everybody hits a Thursday morning. Hey, by the way, there's, you know, music at the Ox.
And you can geolocate as they walk by the Ox. Here's the Ox. Yeah, come back.
And I mean, how convenient. Here it is at Crazy Women's Square. What are you looking behind you? The Occidental. You know, so if you see, oh, there's an event at this hotel. I didn't know they have events at the hotel.
Then they could just do repeaters on the buildings and not have to.
And the nice thing about this, what we had fun with was the photo shoot. You know, you put backdrop, Buffalo, Wyoming, whatever you have as a backdrop. So it says where you are. You take a picture with your spouse, whoever. And then you have to give them the email. And then the email shoots it into your phone. So then you have that on your phone and take it. So there must be that kind of the email address must be captured somewhere. So, and that was fun, and you can change the, and it's super easy to use. I mean, really, there's a home button, and then there's these big buttons you just push on. He said they're fairly sturdy, because I was afraid, okay, we have glass, okay, it'll last a day, and then it's done. But he said, no, it's bolted to the ground, and it's, you know, and there's different sizes, and we want to, again, next month when we visit again, we'll have some more concrete things. We just wanted to kind of give you guys an update. There's one more thing, and I don't want to keep you too long, but, you know, Shan was mentioning that we're kind of supposed to go to the meetings and different kinds of things that were going on. One that I'm personally interested in is what the Pole Creek Vegetation Project, which is the U.S. Forest Service is trying to, I'm going to read what they are saying, so I'm not saying the wrong thing. In short, the purpose of this project is to use various forest management practices to improve the health and productivity of forests, grasslands, and watersheds. Watersheds, yeah. Achieve a more balanced mix of forest habitat diversity and address the escalating risk of wildfire that threatens communities around the Bighorn National Forest. Understandable, and nobody's really against killing trees when it needs to be revived. There's a lot of dead trees. Everybody's wondering why the beetles are not in, blah, blah, blah. Point is that Pole Creek area is a busy, busy thing in the wintertime. I'm skiing probably the last 15 years from November till April until you can't do it anymore on those, I think they said 12 miles. It's a loop, but probably 1,200 acres we're talking about. The Forest Service is trying to address 37,000 acres, okay? It was a big meeting at the fire hall, and we listened to it, what they have to say. And I brought, this is also why this board packet was so big. I wanted you to see this. There is this project going on. It explains it and who to address information. This is what they gave us, different kinds of, you know, it shows that when you overlay all these three things, Pole Creek timber harvest areas, pre-commercial trimming, this is the Pole Creek area, the pink, you don't see that, but you have it in your board packet, and then the pre-commercial thinning, this is the same page, and then the fuel reduction areas, it's all in Pole Creek, which means if you take most of those trees out in those 12 acres, or 12 miles, I'm sorry, then you won't have trees. What that means, with the wind, there won't be snow. So the recreation area won't be happening, plus all the sales coming from the retail part. Anyways, blah, blah, blah. But I just wanted to you know, we want to make aware of that, that that's going on right now until the 21st. The citizens of Buffalo can write letters to the BLM explaining why, not just I don't like to do this or like to have this, you know, why don't you want it? What is the reason for it? What is it, you know, what's the issue? And so the Powder River, the ski club is on it as well. They are attending all these meetings. And so we drafted a letter, but it's coming from JOCO first, and we want to make sure that we're not crossing any lines because we are a government entity, if that's anything. And we just did this, like yesterday, so it wasn't in the board packet. But it basically says, you know, there's nothing wrong with thinning the forest, but would you mind of the 37,000 acres, could you please leave the 12 acres alone? Because if you take those trees, there won't be any snow on the trails left. So that was one of those things. And economic development, you will not have this. And they're going to try to do this between in the next 15 to 20 years. So in that time frame, we don't know. It can happen in a few months. It can happen in years. We don't know. But all we're asking is, could you maybe leave this out for a while? Or just trim some of it, not all of it. That kind of thing. So that was the last thing, and I just want to report from that meeting that we've been at night.
We have this under new business, and if you want to just pass that around, and
sure.
Then you guys can take a look
sure.
at it, and we'll get back to it. But I don't know enough about it. I don't know if anybody else in here is following it.
They did present to the city council and commissioners. I was at both meetings yesterday, and basically, they just wanted to clear cut that area, and they want to exempt it and create a winter recreation area as the goal long term to protect it for in perpetuity as a recreation area. So that's kind of what the board is trying to do. But both the city and county are going to be providing letters of support in their governmental capacity as partners with the Forest Service.
So they do have a recreational plan.
Yeah,
to preserve the
trails? Yeah, the county has a plan with the Forest Service, and the city, I guess, is actually was involved from the beginning of this. Part of the reason for the 37,000 acres is to help reduce fire mitigation, so there's no chance. So there's less chance of a forest fire happening that would contaminate the creek and contaminate our city water supply. But basically what the ski club wanted to do is just try to urge them to just remove the Pole Creek ski area from the clear cut area and leave it as is for winter recreation, for economic and all the social economic benefits.
Yeah.
So if you need to hear, I think you can probably hear, go back and listen to some of those on the websites and listen to those presentations at city or county meetings if you want to.
So just to clarify, you said they're drafting letters of support of their project as it is, or were they supportive of preserving the recreational
they're
area?
They're drafting support to
preserve
the ski area as
okay.
is and remove the 1,000 acres.
Okay.
And, yeah, because the county, I think it's their natural resource conservation plan or something. It's a nice, big, thick document they had to work on with all the federal agencies. It outlines how the county manages the federal lands and stuff. And so the county has more, I guess, weight because they can follow their plan that says, yeah, we're going to be multi-use for recreation. And yeah, they're going to be working on those. The deadline's the 21st, 2 weeks, so there's no time to wait on that, really. So, but yeah,
and I was at the commissioners' meeting yesterday, and they all voted to sign a letter of support. So. For Charlotte of the Pole Creek Nordic Pass.
For supporting the trails.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that how you understood it, Jim?
Yep. Yeah,
and
even
the CTA is going to draft a letter.
So how do you all feel about having a letter then come from JOCO First as well in support? the letter that's been drafted has gone around, if that's something that...
I think that would have more impact is from governmental entities and rather than just one individual person, where you have a more, say, governmental entity to governmental entity weighs a little more. And they said at last night's meeting, once you submit a letter at this initial state, then you're part of the process and you could actually revise or do another letter later on in the process, but you have to start, you have to do the first one and then you're eligible to do more. It was, I didn't, because we had three or four other people there last night's meeting.
And that does not have to be the final draft. That was just something we threw together. So if you have edits or extra comments.
Yeah, maybe just email it around at all the board and let them edit it.
After the meeting, I'll email it to all of you, and if you have any edits or something, I mean, if that would be something you guys want to do. And
Zach seems perplexed over there.
What are you thinking, Zach?
He's gripping the letter.
He's
like,
the area, though.
Oh, I use it all the time. I don't know that that's the purpose of JOCO, but did you say there is a county document? I'm sorry.
There is, yeah, and it's in the, I put it, the short version, I put it in the board packet where there is, where they're exactly saying what it is. Here, it's small.
For some reason, I'm struggling with the board packet.
Here. It's not a sole purpose of JOCO for us to do this. It was just...
No, I understand.
Here, I think this is the board version that we got off the
internet. Well, I do think it has economic ramifications.
It would be an economic hit if you lose 30% of your... Your ski area up there becomes unusable because of lack of snow.
Yeah, and you know we have people coming from Gillette.
And they said they put about $150,000 from the rec board in the past 20 years up there into that with equipment and hundreds of thousands of volunteer labor.
Yeah, it's a lot of
maintaining.
It's
a
lot invested.
Big investment in that that would be wiped out if they clear cut that area. Then your existing trails would be.
And then how would we ever encourage the populace to do it again? You know?
Is clear cut the only option? Select cutting and cleanup is
they
not an option? I mean, that's...
They haven't done anything in 25 years, and they're claiming that needs to be done to...
Clear cut's easier for them.
Of course.
And if they, but if they thin it too much, then you still get the wind and the sun. You don't get the wind break.
So there will be also some repercussion from some people that have cabins on the mountain because it directly affects them with how they transport on the A, B, and C road. They call their, you know, classify certain roads where they can take the trees actually out. And some of the land owners / cabin owners already have, you know, they're going to write something up on that note because they're directly affected. But that's neither here nor there.
I guess what I was asking, Claudia, but I probably didn't articulate it properly. Is there some version of something like this that multiple entities are signing on to and saying?
Well, everybody is encouraged to do that. The Powder Pass Ski Club is writing one up. I mean,
you mean like a petition?
I think the county and the city are doing seven.
Everybody's doing their own thing.
Everybody's doing their own thing.
There's no one petition that everybody's signing. Everybody's doing their own letters.
And that's what they said. They didn't say you sign a petition or anything. They're saying, please.
And JOCO's, I would say, focus yours on economic development because that's more where you come from in your expertise areas.
And that's what they wanted to see the aspects of. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically they're just asking for... As individuals to comment, if you have comments regarding it, but also the groups.
Okay.
Like JCTA is commenting because of the tourism and the economic development that causes if we lose that Bull Creek. That's one of the few inexpensive winter activities that we have.
Yeah, I use it all the time. It's awesome.
Well, the irony is it's during the lean months that they keep saying, we need more stuff during our lean months. Okay, well, let's eliminate this.
And you know the Bull Creek Challenge is coming up on the 25th of February. That's a big deal for them. It would be just a sad thing. Just that area. Whatever they do with other things, we don't really...
Yeah, and it's just 1,000 out of the 37,000 acres that they're asking to just leave that area alone. They're not asking them to stop doing the whole thing.
No,
they understand that.
Right.
It's just that 1,000 acres that they work.
Maybe I'll send you the letter.
I would say send it out to everybody.
Yeah.
Anybody has any other comments or concerns in reply to the email. But at this point, it seems like it would be a good idea to represent that in terms of economic development impacts. I would think that if anybody is opposed, I don't know that we need to have a vote on it. We can circulate it through the email, and then if anybody comes up or thinks of something else that we should maybe put in there, you know, this morning.
Well, I look bad.
I feel like we just delivered the worst news.
No, it's not.
Where's the eighth?
Don't,
where's
don't
Josh?
Put that in the paper.
He's going to resign from JOCO if you send the letter.
I don't feel that way at all. Just trying to understand it.
And I'll be happy to send you the maps that they have. There were not better maps at this point.
We can talk to you later.
I'm good.
All right. So that was my idea. Thank you very much.
Sounds good. I think we will not address that under new business. I think we just ironed that out. So we're good. Okay, moving on to old business. I know, we still have a few things to cover. We talked about the employee handbook and the importance of that. We circulated the county version. I asked the staff to look through it carefully, see if there's anything that just seems like, oh my goodness, we couldn't live with that. And none of that really came up. So I guess the next ask is, I think we should, one of two things. I don't know that we can just adopt it, but I think that we should move forward and actively use it as the base, unless somebody is opposed, and start putting the changes to it that make it our own. So if that's okay with everybody, I would accept the motion to do that and to adopt that as a policy as part of our overall governance goals. That'll be a huge one to tick off. So if anybody has feels compelled, I would love to take a motion for that.
Make a motion.
Excuse
yeah,
me?
We need four members.
We still have a quorum.
We only need
if
four.
If you let him represent the city, you do.
Okay. No,
you
still have four without.
We still have
four.
Right, but there's 10 members.
We're good with four,
four
on our quorum.
That's in the bylaws.
Mm-hmm.
So John made a motion?
Really? Yeah, they changed the bylaws.
Well, then you're good.
We have a motion on the floor.
Just making sure.
I have a motion to take the county employee handbook and revise it to make it the JOCO first employee handbook.
Thanks, John. Do we have a second?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Perfect. Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you so much.
The city's in the middle of revising our handbook as well. So
awesome.
If you have any questions, talk to Julie. She
yes.
Help you figure intricacies.
The next item is the Economic Development Comprehensive Plan update. I don't have a lot on this. I do have a couple of questions, or I guess updates I'd like to try to get from those in the room if we can. First of all, does anybody have an update on what's happening, Scott, or anybody with the city-county effort?
The county is, they're working on updating their plan through an RFP and through outside agencies. The city is working on our city comprehensive plan. We're working with our planning consultant to work on revising and updating our 2007 comprehensive plan and kind of update the numbers and data that needs updated and try to streamline it to a finer document and get rid of some of the extraneous stuff that nobody ever looks at and keep the relevant info in there. But that's, we're going to be working on that over the next few months, work with our planner consultant And I think the Trails Board is looking, they want to kind of do the same thing and do an update on their 08 Master Trails Plan that's kind of just hopefully do some updates there as well. So we're just trying to, between all the entities, we're trying to get everything current for this decade. Everything's 15 years old, so it's about time to try to get them more in line with what's going on currently in the world. And that's, a lot of the goals and stuff are still the same, and we've accomplished some tasks, and we've got some new things we need to add in there, but it's work in progress. And the city, we're kind of working at it over the next few months. It'll probably be a 3-4 month process. We won't be done with it till probably in the summer, the way it's going.
Okay. I asked Shane, and of course he had to go, for an update on the business park. Scott, do you know anything about where we're at there?
We had one offer last summer, but it was 30-40% of asking price, and we declined that, but we haven't received any other offers. I've heard people potentially interested in it for different facilities and stuff, but nobody's been serious with any other offers. And
asking price, so you guys have it listed?
It's been listed for with Craig Wetterland at Century 21. It's been almost a year now he's had it listed. So it is on the multi-list out there with prices for all the seven lots out there, what they are. So they just haven't been actively marketed that much, but it's a good place for the right facility, but we just need to find a facility that fits the location and that can deal with the surrounding.
So
the sewer treatment plant on one side and a feedlot, the animal feedlot on the other side. So
is the city just trying to sell lots, parcels, or are you trying to lease?
We pretty much would prefer to sell the lots. And as part of the business council grant, when we sell a lot, I think it's 25% recapture goes to the state to reimburse for the grant. And then the rest of it the city gets to keep, and we can use for economic development purposes, either expand the business park or do other things. But I think we're limited to what we can use the sale proceeds for, because the majority of that was paid for with grant dollars from the business council. So it's, but yeah, we're still working, trying to market it and sell it. As it'd be good for industrial uses, and we've got redundant power out there, two different power sources. It'd be awesome for a data center, because we've got redundant power, redundant internet. They could divert the water, the outflow from the wastewater treatment plant could be diverted for cooling water, and that was part of the studies done 8-9 years ago with the East Corridor, and there's two or three studies we did when Dave Simonson was here that are in that JOCO did that are before we got the grant for that facility that explains why it
do
was
we
a
have
good
those?
Yeah, there's
have to dig.
Yeah,
that
the business,
does
the,
not
they were sponsored by the
me.
Business Council, but yeah, there was
yeah.
one for that studied the whole eastern corridor from the old sewer lagoon all the way out to I-90, and then there was a second study that was more focused on the area around the business park and it discussed potential uses and stuff. We had to do this study before we could apply for the funding, and if you go on Business Council site, there's also a pretty extensive information when we went for the initial funding for the Business Council, I think in 17 or 18.
We're going to look for that, whether it's with us
and
or whether it's with them.
Brandy helped with
find.
All those. So when Brandy's here next week,
mm-hmm.
maybe get
to
email
her
before she comes, and she can look it up in her files and find.
Okay.
She's got links to all those, because she helped with all those grants through the Business Council. And so she can get, and that would help you guys to know what we're looking at in building
Absolutely.
That and the reasoning behind it and everything. Is a lot of that was due diligence was done in those in the studies and the grant application itself. And
I'm surprised that we haven't seen or heard of that, unless it's entangled into something else that
well,
we did.
The previous board knew it, but it was all done. It was probably finished. All that stuff was finished in 17 or 18,
right.
And it hasn't. Most of the board members have changed since then, so that was the problem. It got put on the back burner when Simonson left, and they forgot to share the knowledge to everybody.
Well, it's
one of those. And City Hall, we've got a whole wall of studies. We've got 50 studies down there that we never look at. So, paid for, don't look at them.
But wasn't Julie also saying when we were in her office a few weeks ago that she said that the agreement or contract with the current realtor is kind of subsiding?
I think it was.
Because then she wanted
yeah,
because
I think
that.
It's about up now. Because I think we.
So what happens after?
We
that?
Had one during. I think we had one in 2020. We had a different one there for. I think he started about a year ago, so I think his contract might be up the end of February. So then we will. Because basically, when Joco did the RFP to sell the 18 Plains Drive out there next to Mountain Meadow. Well, we basically cannibalized your contract and used the same thing and changed a couple words. And that's how we got our real estate person to market our property. So if we do that, we don't have to go through all the crazy rules. If that one does expire, we will probably try to resubmit that RFP. We had two other people interested that picked up information and were going to submit RFPs, but in the end, they due to lack of time, they didn't. And so maybe this time we could get a couple other people involved and more actively market it.
Are you talking about realtors, other people involved?
A couple other realtors. And there is one of those studies there. Well, I gave it to Craig. I can get it back. There's a DVD or there's a we've got an electronic copy of one of those studies, but we could. I might need a copy at home. I'll look at.
Well, as we're increasing our offerings and being able to provide information to those asking, part of that is really understanding what is the commercial inventory, what are the build ready opportunities, what's available at the business park. I don't know if we have any kind of any marketing materials that have been put together that we can cabbage back onto to make sure that we have the most current information too, so that when we're asked that we actually have a clue and an idea of what's actually out there. And that's just something that's naturally, more we know, the better off we are.
A commercial property inventory a few years ago for
mm-hmm.
the realtors just to, they used to be a link on one of the websites, I can't remember which one, that you could find out which commercial properties were for sale and stuff.
Right.
Many have changed hands now. I just noticed that
all
the old heads' bodies on
sort through it.
It's
right.
For sale now.
Right, collected that. So the other thing I wanted to ask is I read or heard, I can't remember which, the planning and zoning is going to be putting together a survey of the community. And I'm not quite sure when they're going to roll that out. Jim did not. There was no timeline. But has anybody else heard or is involved or aware of when that might happen? Because that survey, I would really be interested in seeing the results of that. And because it is a planning and zoning, it's going to be from the direction of the community. And I really think, and of course it's my feeling, but where we are today as a community and our offerings, even the size and all that there is here, I mean, it's been because of really thoughtful and intent from caring people that have thought about, well, what do they want Buffalo to be? And we're always charging ourselves with the question, well, what do we want to do? Or where do we want to grow? Or what businesses do we want? But I think, in general, over the last, several decades, people have been very thoughtful about. And that's why we don't have a lot of the different bigger businesses here, perhaps. Maybe that's why we don't have certain things that we think the bigger cities have, and we don't necessarily want those things here. And I think it's kind of neat where we are, and how do we figure out now going forward to preserve what we have, the community values that we want, but at the same time look at the opportunities for businesses that do want to come in or that we do want to attract. I mean, where's that balance? And I think we all struggle with that. But we do have some really great opportunities here for the right type businesses to come in. I think that just within the core strategies of economic development and the partnerships that we have, especially with the college, when we think about workforce development strategies and we think about our education partners and how we're growing some of those offerings to, again, workforce development ties right into that, and we look at leadership opportunities and training and all of those things that we're doing, is important as a whole for our whole community to figure this out. Where is it? And how do we keep on this, what I think has been a real nice pace and where we are today? And I always reflect back to the days of when the interstate was not here, and then when George Knepper was so involved with bringing that to us, and how that changed and really paved the way for things like tourism and how people pass through here. And I'll also never forget, and I'm sorry that I'll get winded on this, and I'll try not to, but even my days at the Chamber, working so closely with JCTA and understanding how important it was, there's one message. It's how do we get them to go over Highway 16 to Yellowstone? How do we? Yes, we would love to be that destination, and we really believed that if we could get them off the interstate, bring them through town, and get them over Highway 16, they would come back. And they do. And they do come back. But there are some things we need to also do to preserve that. The type of traveler that we have out there, yes, they're using a lot of digital. Yes, they're using their phones. But I'm going to tell you, everything in this world and life is cyclical. And people like paper. And they like to be able to pick up a brochure and look at those nice pictures and say, gosh, I want to go here and I want to experience this. I can see it. And I think that those are things to always remember when we're planning. And one of the things to me that right now is just really disheartening is to look at those very simple and impactful and effective green billboards coming down the interstate. I like the billboards that have nice pictures and slogans and all this fun information. I think those are great too, and that's all nice. But if I only have this much money to spend, it will be on fixing those green billboards that bring you over the safest, fastest, and most scenic route to Yellowstone, and that is through Buffalo, so that people can experience Buffalo. So that's my pitch on that, and I just had to get that out today because I think it's important. And I think as economic development, we are doing economic development. We've been doing it for years. How we define that in this community is up to us. Everywhere is different for economic development. The needs are different, the opportunities are different, the people are different, what they want is different. But for us, I love where we're at today. I want us to preserve and always remember the community values and what the community wants. But I think that we have some fantastic opportunities going forward. And this next year, I'm hoping that we'll be able to get some of these things knocked out. Some of our governance things that we need to do, the bylaws, the revision, the handbook, the simple things like that, we can get those things done. I think building on our partnerships and those opportunities is going to be real important going forward, but also looking at what we can do collectively in tourism, because that economic piece is so important. And there's many other topics that we can surely look at. So as we're looking at planning, there's going to be a lot of conversations going forward. And I think that the more that we can look at where we want to go and always remember the community values and the things and what we want that to look like, I think will be a lot of fun. So hopefully it'll be a neat thing over this next year as we start to really hone in and define what it is we want to see happen and how we want to get there.
And I'm not sure if the New Growth Alliance is still doing much. It was Johnson, Sheridan, and Campbell County that partnered together with the Wyoming Business Council grant to help to market the region.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these big companies won't look at a place unless there's 100,000 people, but you, or 50,000. If you market the three county area, there is enough to attract these bigger businesses. We used to be, that used to be more active, and it's kind of slowed down. The city right now is fielding the leads from the business council. We get 2 to 5 a year for bigger companies. We've had one firearm accessory manufacturer, a feedlot, all sorts of different odds and ends that have been potential ones that we've submitted proposals back, and just normally there's 4 or 5 cities in Wyoming that submit for those, and we haven't been successful yet, but we're still trying, so we could get one of those businesses eventually too. So.
But I think New Growth Alliance has been slowed down.
Yeah, they haven't been doing
much. I don't think they have any money.
Yeah.
So I think then...
We always
had
money.
Robert was very instrumental in that relationship.
Robert
was one of them.
And we lost Simonson, and then we lost whoever was in Gillette handling it. Moved, and so... Yeah.
City clerk. We're going to try to quickly get through this. So the board training, Mary has been working on this. If you want to give a review of where you're at, this is not just a JOCO board training, just so you know, this is a community-wide. So the boards and organizations, entities that are interested in board training, this is an opportunity. So Mary, if you want to give us an update on that.
Okay, I'll be quick. Everybody has one of these handouts, and Claudia and Carrie had gone to this, and I visited with them right afterwards. What it is, and there's some highlights here. I was really impressed with what knowledge they came back. And as a new board member, I thought this is a home run. I also got I put all of our boards that we have in Johnson County, and I was amazed at how many. I reached out to Bob Perry, Bill Novotny, Jeff Shelley. They're all on a lot of these boards, and they all were very supportive.
Good.
Of this. And I said what I'd do is kind of get an idea of interest and costs, but I would like today to go forward to vote on JOCO putting on this board fundamentals, and I think we could all really benefit from it. A lot of new board members out there too, so.
There's a lot of boards with new people involved, and it would be a great opportunity for all of them.
Thing?
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. There'll be a fee, so each organization may have to come up with a little bit to do this, because it's not free. But at the same time, I think that we should be able to get enough people to make it worthwhile, I would think. And then even reaching out to the nonprofits, there's so many more than just the city county boards. There's nonprofit organizations that might.
There's 23 boards in the city and county.
Yep.
And then the elected special districts.
They do.
All those.
But in terms of the fundamentals, and everyone could sure stand a review on how that is supposed to be done, at least in the core pieces. But you're right. Some operate a little bit differently, but I'm sure that the trainers will.
Yeah.
Look at the audience.
And I did talk to some of the board members who said that this was important because they are having problems with new board members. And
so that would be great.
Madam Chair, I'm just curious who the trainers are.
Pardon?
Who are the trainers? Like what organization puts it on?
Wyoming Nonprofit.
It comes from Wyoming Nonprofit. You probably know more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wyoming Nonprofit Network. Anna Wilcox out of Casper. And she would come up for that. And then making it fun, interactive. They let you run around and do things, but that way you understand and you're actually really involved in the process of roles and responsibilities. We thought it was great. It was
great.
And it was just four. We
three,
were four,
three or four hours.
Three or four hours
at
it.
And lunch was the fun.
That's
why I went to
food.
For the lunch.
Food is
the No, it's very educational. I mean, it really opened up a lot of
especially for her.
Yeah,
she,
I've done some board work previously, but it was always military, so they sort of run very regimented. But yeah, this was definitely an eye opener about how a board should operate, what the roles are of each board member,
mm-hmm.
your governance committee,
right.
You know, what needs to be at the board meeting, how long board meetings should be. It's,
right.
it's super educational.
So, how do you want our involvement in this thing? Are you going to do the legwork as far as, you know,
inviting people? How do we?
Yeah, that's I'm curious about that. That's one part. I thought I do want to get back to these guys for cost, but yeah, as far as. But I'm hoping for your help in reaching out, flyers.
Just get together, figure out what you need to move it forward, get your dates set with those guys, I think, and we'll just put it out there.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I think that would be great.
And another thing, too, the Wyoming Department of Audit, we just had a training down at WAM. There is a rule that passed last year legislature. Anybody in public entity or boards that handles public finances has to be trained, mandatory training by the Department of Audit for fiduciary responsibility, what you can and can't do. And they're helping to set up the training. That I think the trainings will start July of 23. It has to be completed by July of 24. But if you have educational knowledge or CPA, some of those, like Zach, your knowledge would take care of you. You can just send a letter to be exempted, but that's something we just learned about this recently. So that could be tied together. Yeah, but everybody, school boards, special districts, appointed boards, cities and counties, and everybody has to go through this mandatory state level training. Except
so would it have to be separate? Would it negate this?
It could be involved with this. I'm not, but the city and WAM, there'll probably be some other training opportunities locally to recover those responsibilities. We had one guy with the Department of Audit gave us an hour quick summary of it, but we don't know all the details yet. But it's something coming up to help the Department of Audit. Make sure everybody knows what you're legally liable for, and as long as you have officers and insurance, officers and directors insurance, that should cover the board liability for you personally. So it's a mess. But there, when they figured that there was several thousands
through the state.
Groups in the state that had to be through it, we got 67 Buffalo. You figure all the special districts, all the appointed boards, all the elected officials, anybody that handles public funds or governmental funds in some way or another has to go through this. So even some employees in school districts and stuff, in addition to boards, it's a big old pile of people, but there'll be a lot more details on that coming up.
Well, it seems like I should at least contact
them and make sure
that this doesn't...
Yeah.
But
if you just ask them if they're incorporating the Department of Audit requirements or whatever.
Okay.
I got to head to work. So.
Madam Chair.
So yes.
If there's anything requiring a vote.
The meeting date change. That was going to be something I wanted to talk about. We were looking at postponing or moving our meetings out a little bit further because we were having some trouble getting. Financial and bills and all of that in time to have it all prepared for this meeting date.
Right.
But I actually have a couple of things. Whether we do that, that's of course an option, moving our meeting date another week out or so. But I actually would like to consider something else. We used to meet twice a month. We have a lot of work to do. It's hard to get it all done in 1 hour in the morning once a month in here. So I'm either going to propose that we go back to meeting twice a month, which could be the second and fourth Wednesdays, or we do a workshop the first time and do a board meeting the second one. So like the second Wednesday would be a workshop day, and the fourth is going to be a meeting day. Approving for the previous month, or we could do where on the second Wednesday we have committees meet, because there will be some committee work, or at least some things. So maybe it's workshop versus committees on the first meeting, and maybe the second meeting can be the actual board meeting where we're approving and doing for the financial pieces what we need to do. But somehow we need to figure out how to spend more time. And as a board, and as to get some of these things done, I don't think we can get it all done just meeting 1 hour a month. So you can certainly roll that around, but I'm probably going to call for a minimum of having something on the second Wednesday. And if that doesn't work for Tom, I wish he was here. Sometimes he comes up on Tuesdays.
For parts.
So maybe we can do the second Tuesday of the month for the workshop and committee meetings and the fourth Wednesday for the board meeting. I don't know how that works with your schedules, so I wanted to throw that out.
Any county employees, because they've got the commissioner's meetings the same.
They're Tuesdays.
It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
If you knew it was Tuesday, you might.
No, Wednesday would stay the board meeting, whether it's the the third or the fourth Wednesday. But on a workshop day and a committee day, we can.
But again, you'd lose your county and city people because of all the meetings on Tuesdays.
Right. Well, I'm just trying to figure out. That's what we're discussing.
I have no problem doing another meeting. I'm just saying, as many city and county people are involved.
Right.
You just got to be aware of their stuff.
Right, and that's fine. That's why we've always stuck to Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't know that Tom will make it up on a Wednesday. So, but it's something to consider, but I just don't think we have enough time.
Yeah.
And I think that if we're going to actually accomplish some of the things that we need to do, we need more time.
I'd like to interject that
mm-hmm.
once we learn the board fundamentals, we will find a
mm-hmm.
way to reduce wasted time at
sure.
the board meetings, which is, that to me is really beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
Like the financials and the minutes and everything can be done by proxy on the Google Docs. And they explain exactly how you can do that and keep it well within your realm of governance.
So that would be the only thing is we don't have to vote on it today, but we do need to decide on it soon.
And the only reason I bring that is in case somebody feels overwhelmed by a second.
Can you hand out? Here's a handout that I put together. I'll give you one. There. One of the other to-dos is putting together a board orientation handout, manual, call it what you want. Claudia has the binder that she does for everyone, but this will give a little bit more information, and of course we can tweak this after the training, add to it, but I think it's important to set some sort of a standard of what the expectations are and ways that we can contribute more in ways that are a little more organized. So this is something you guys could take with you, take a look at, but this is definitely
something. I found it very helpful.
Did you? Oh,
yes.
Good, because I'm hoping that this will become part of a board orientation that we do desperately need to do going forward. So there's that. And then I do have coming up as a leadership, economic development leadership opportunity. And so we've got some of these. The applications are due February 28th. If anybody is interested in this, they're only, of course, it's a limited class size, and the information is available for anyone who might be interested. I think we should consider whether or not staff should apply, and consider whether or not board members would like to apply. There's costs, of course. It's $1,000. They do have scholarships, and of course, travel and lodging, all of that is on us. So there's that opportunity as well. Public comment.
Sorry, I have to run. I had a nightmare.
Oh,
I didn't realize we were going to go to sleep this morning.
Sorry, Jody.
Sign up for yoga. That's my public comment, manager.
What was that?
Sign up for yoga.
Sign up for yoga.
We're going to begin offering, yeah.
Any other comments?
Here at Bummer Mountain or over at the Y still?
Here.
It's good.
Oh.
Monday and Wednesday over the lunch hour, beginning in the middle of March. It'll be for 8 weeks. And if it's popular, we'll just keep it going. Each semester, 8 week sessions. We have a great teacher. So, and we have almost doubled the number of people that are engaged in taking 4 credit classes this semester as compared to this time last year. So it's great news.
That was awesome.
Good presence.
Any other comments? Questions? Currently, we still have our next meeting date is March 8th, unless something has changed, and I would say that would probably take a vote. So.